So the title of my talk today is Don't Block the Light. And so that light that I'm talking about is the light of the divine. It is the light of that one love intelligence of the universe that is constantly pouring itself forth in and through life. That light that I'm talking about is the nature of the divine that flows through everything. It is intelligence, it is order, it is love, it is a boundless good, and it is the very essence of life. That light of the divine surrounds us all the time. It envelops us all the time, and it pours itself through us and through our lives all the time. And so I am teaching right now practical mysticism class, and one of the many things that we've been talking about in class is the idea of grace, living in grace or living under grace. And so grace is the givingness of spirit. It is the pouring forth of that one into our lives, just like the light that I'm talking about. It expresses itself, grace expresses itself as an unbounded good. And so we know that Christians talk about grace a lot. And they talk about grace as being an unwarranted or an unmerited favor given by God. That it is a gift that is given out of goodwill or out of love rather than out of justice. And so the truth is, really, is that we live in that atmosphere of grace all the time because we live in the outpouring of the infinite all the time. We live in that outpouring of infinite good all the time, so therefore we are living in grace all of the time. It fills our lives and it fills us with its beingness. And so we don't have to earn that givingness of spirit because that givingness of spirit is the very nature of life. It's the nature of the universe to pour itself forth as that thing that we see as givingness. It's the nature of life and the nature of our lives. And so Joel Goldsmith is one of the authors of one of the books that we're using for class. And one of those books is called The Foundations of Mysticism. He says in this book, "One of my earliest revelations that came to me regarding the nature of God was that it was a waste of time to ask God for anything at any time because God isn't withholding. There's no need to ask because there's no withholding. It's already present and available and right where we are." And so Ernest Holmes, in the Science of Mind textbook, defines grace. And so he defines grace as this. He says, "Grace is the givingness of spirit to its creation. It is not a special law, but a specialized law. In other words, grace is, but we need recognize it. It is not something God imposed upon us, but it is the logical result of the correct acceptance of life and a correct acceptance and relationship to spirit. We are saved by grace to the extent that we believe in, accept, and seek to embody the law of good." So it's not something that we need to go after. It's something we need to be in alignment with. It's something we need to be in right relationship with. It's something that we need to accept. So grace is that givingness of spirit, as Ernest Holmes says, and we experience when we recognize that it is present, when we are open to it, when we are in right relationship to it. And so that, to me, means when we recognize that it is present everywhere that we go, in everything that we do, at every moment of our lives, that it is the very I am presence within us, that we recognize that it is always closer than breath and nearer than hands and feet. And it also means that we experience grace when we line our consciousness up with it. That means when we become like it in vibration so that it can flow into our lives through our actions, through our words. Like Ernest Holmes says, God can do for us only what God can do through us. When we become like it in vibration, in essence, in our thinking and our acting and our feeling, then we are open to that grace. And so grace shows up for us in our lives as things like peace in difficult circumstances. It shows up as a knowing what to do when we find ourselves in a new or a foreign or an unknown situation, something we've never done before. It shows up as an ease and a flexibility when our spouse or our partner wants to fight with us. It shows up as a softening of our heart where there has always been an animosity. It shows up as strollers and cribs and playpens and baby clothes. And so you might know, if you've been here, that Marisha has taken custody of her two nieces. And she said to Colleen last week, you know, people started bringing me things that I didn't even know that I needed. That's grace. And so I went over to Chris Braunschweiger's house this week, and she had put a call out for some baby things for Marisha. And when I went over there, she had in this room for Marisha two cradles and two strollers, a double stroller and one of those ones that folds up. She has two high chairs and two car seats, an infant car seat and a bigger baby car seat, a bouncy chair and a swing and two porta cribs and clothes and diapers and toys. Some of those were given from organizations that do not give to individuals, but they decided to give to an individual at this time. Some of those things, many of those things, were given from people that she does not know. And some of them were given from people she does know, like this spiritual family. We also asked last week for who would like to start doing childcare because she's going to be bringing kids with her. We've had 11 people sign up to do childcare. That is grace. That is how that unfolds itself in our lives. Absolutely. And so grace shows up for us as those things that we want to experience in our lives, those things that we want to feel and those things that we want to be. It shows up as peace and as ease and as a sense of well-being. It shows up as love. It shows us up as us getting our needs met in totally unexpected ways that we never even knew were there or thought were possible. That's what grace looks like. And so then, if we live in this atmosphere of grace all the time, then why don't we experience it all of the time? I think the first reason is because we don't believe that grace is present. We don't believe that we really live in this atmosphere of grace. And so then when difficulties show up in our lives, we somehow think they're outside of that one presence. We somehow think that we have to figure it out on our own, that we have to struggle and strain and fight against and use our will and our might and our strength and our wit and whatever it is, that we have to figure it out all on our own. And then we get into struggle. And I know that every single one of us does that. Do you ever do that? Think you have to figure it out on your own and do it? I do it. I know that we all do it. You know, I know that you all know that Roz, one of our musicians, has taken a full-time job. And that means the next 8 times that she was on our calendar, all of a sudden are empty. The first place that I went was into this little panic. How am I going to fill this calendar? All the musicians are already booked for the year. What am I going to do? Instead of recognizing that this is an opportunity in my openness and my acceptance and my alignment with it for grace to show up. And here we have Debbie Wheeler with us today, which is so awesome. And you know what? The calendar is almost entirely filled up already. It's so fabulous. That is allowing grace to unfold. And so we forget that we can take our hands off the wheel, that what we need to do really is just pull over and listen for a minute. Listen to our hearts and listen to the guidance of our soul and the knowingness that already lives within us, because that's the thing that will take us to our greater good. That's the thing that will take us to the answer that's already in alignment with our soul and with what we really desire. Joel Goldsmith says, You are no more outside of God's government than the stars, the sun, the moon, the tides, the fish swimming in the sea, and the birds flying in the air. We are living under God's government. That is what is happening in our lives all the time. And so then, the second reason that we don't always experience grace is because we get into negative judgment. We get into negative judgment about the people that are around us, the people in our lives, or negative judgment about ourselves. That could be the current thing that's going on, the person that's right in front of you, or that negative judgment could be just some long-standing resentment that you continue to hold on to. But when we are in judgment, and when we are in unforgiveness, when we are in that negative space, we remove ourselves from the flow of love. When we are unloving, our vibration is unlike that love intelligence of the universe, and therefore we can't line up with it. That love is the very foundation of grace. That's what the grace comes out of. So if we are unlike love in our thinking and in our actions, we can't be open to it. So when our vibration doesn't match the nature of the divine, when it doesn't match our own essential nature and our essence, it's like turning that shortwave radio onto the wrong channel. It's at the wrong frequency. And when you have that shortwave radio at the wrong frequency and you're trying to talk to your cousin in Iowa, you can't get him because the BBC is coming through instead. You have to be on the right frequency, the right channel in order to tap into and to be open to have that flow in your life. And so Yvonne McLaughlin, one of our congregants here, is in class with us, and she told us a story in class this week about how she was at Target last week, and there was a lady that was walking with her little girl, and the lady was yelling at the little girl and kind of grabbing her by the hand and jerk her hand. And Yvonne said the first place she went into was judgment, negative judgment about the way this woman was behaving, and she wasn't parenting this child the way that she would have parented this child, and rah, 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 that negative judgment we get into. And she said she stopped herself and thought, you know what? This isn't what I want to do. I'm going to turn this around and come instead from a place of positivity. Come instead from that essence of love. And so she says she walked around the other way and walked up to the woman and says, oh my gosh, what a pretty little girl. And she said the woman stopped and the energy shifted in the entire situation. And she told her how old she was and what a wonderful little girl she was, and it shifted the whole situation. Because that's what happens when we line back up with our own divinity. When we line back up with the love of the universe, it shifts us and it shifts the circumstances around us. She stepped into love, and that opened the gateway for grace to flow into that situation. Eric Butterworth says in his book, In the Flow of Life, it has been said that it takes two to make a quarrel. But what is not often realized is that it takes only one to commence the dissolution process. When we are having difficulty with someone in our life, when we are in a difficult situation that may not even have anything to do with us, around us, when we step into a different energy, when we come from a different place, when we come from that divinity, things shift. Eric Butterworth also tells a story in that book about a man named Philippe Vernier. He says he was a religious mystic who was martyred under the Nazis in World War II. He came through unspeakable treatment with an unshakable faith and a radiant consciousness. He insisted that humankind is a torchbearer of the light of God, and that we should not spend our time groaning over what the world lacks, but bring it what it needs. We are called to be that light of the divine. And when we act as that light, we create a way for grace to come into the world. when we bring through our words and our actions and our thoughts and our deeds, when we bring that presence into the world, we bring grace into the world. We become a channel for it as well as a recipient for it. And the third reason that we may not experience that grace all the time is because we get stuck in our story. We get stuck in that story about how they did me wrong and how awful they are. And then we tell that story over and over and over again. Again, we can't be in that vibration of grace when we are stuck in that story. Because in our being focused on that story, we remove ourselves from that infinite realm of good. Years ago, I used to go to a reflexologist every 3 weeks. Went to her for a very long time. And one time I came to her house, where she did her reflexology, and she was telling me that a week or so before that, she got a new washing machine. Well, she went to a particular store because they advertised this washing machine at this price, but when she got there, that wasn't the price they were selling the washing machine for. And then she complained about how the guys in the store really weren't very helpful. And she went ahead and bought it there anyway because she'd driven all the way over there. And so they delivered it to her house, and they brought the wrong washing machine. And so she had to send that washing machine back. And then it took days before the new washing machine got to her house, and she was never going to go shopping at this store again. I'm exhausted from listening to her tell this story. And I said to her, "So how do you like the washing machine?" "Oh, it's wonderful. It works so well." She was so stuck in that story. And every time we tell that story, we create misery for ourselves again because we experience the feelings of that ick and that angst all over again. We can't experience the good when we're stuck in the story about how bad it is. So when we hold on to the story, we remove ourselves from that ever-present peace. There's peace right here. It's available. But we remove ourselves from that peace in our story. We remove ourselves from the love that's already inside of us in our story. We remove ourselves from the flow of good that's seeking to flow into our lives when we're stuck in that story. We remove ourselves from our own essential nature when we're stuck in that story. We block the light when we're stuck in that story, and we remove ourselves from grace. Because the grace can't get in when you're in that story. So let go of telling the story. And I know you might need to tell it a couple times when it first happens because you're processing it to move through it, but don't keep telling it over and over again. Grace is always present. Grace is the nature of the divine, and its nature is to unfold as that good. Its nature is to unfold in our lives. Grace is God's good pleasure. And so my invitation to you then is to know that the divine is always where you are, in its fullness, in its wholeness, in its allness, right where you stand at every moment in every situation. To know that grace is present and will show up as the answer to every question that you have. It will show up as the solution to every problem that you find yourself in when you believe it and when you're open to it. Grace shows up as the solution to your challenges and the good that you seek. Always know that. Lean into that. Remember that when things are challenging. And release your judgment. Release your judgment of the people that are around you, of your family and the strangers, and release your judgment of yourself. And let go of the story. And align your thinking and your energy and your vibration and your heart with the infinite good that is always present. That infinite good that is the very ground of being itself. Then you'll be living in the flow. And then you'll be living in grace, open to grace, receiving grace. And so blessings to all of you on this path of awakening and this path of becoming and this path of being open, open conduits to that grace in this world. Blessings to each one of you. And so I invite you to join me in an affirmative prayer. And so we take our attention right now and turn it to the truth. To the truth of that omnipresence of that infinite one, that infinite love, that infinite intelligence, that presence of order and of good, of boundless good, of overflowing good, recognizing that, yes, this is the very nature of the divine. It is the nature of life, and it is the nature of the life that we are living. And so we turn our attention to that truth, and we allow ourselves to marinate in this energy, in this vibration, in this remembrance. And so, yes, I know that we walk in this presence at every moment in our lives, that we walk in this presence and with this presence, and that that presence fills us to overflowing. It fills our lives to overflowing with a boundless good. And with love, with friendship, and with ease in our relationships, with opportunities to be of service and opportunities to receive, with opportunities to witness the abundance of good and blessings that are all over this planet, the beauty that is everywhere. And so I know that this presence goes before us today, that it makes the way plain and smooth, and that it leads us and it guides us into this best life ever. And so, yes, indeed, we are open and we are receptive, and we keep our attention focused on this truth, that there is only one, and that it is right where we are, that it is what we are, and it is the essence and the fabric and the nature of our lives. And so not only is this the truth about us, but I know that this is the truth for every single person on this planet, that that one infinite presence of love and good and beauty and truth and peace is unfolding itself in the life of every single person, that it is present in every home, it is present in every heart, it is present in every politician, every decision maker, every world leader, right now unfolding itself as a good beyond our imagination, expressing itself within each one of those hearts as love and as oneness, as the truth of our connection with each other, this one family of humanity. It is unfolding itself as peace, and ways to express and to experience and to be peace in this world. It is unfolding itself in the minds of each person as how to create a world that works for everyone. And so we just lean into this presence, and we accept this truth, and we allow it to speak in us and through us and as us. And how good it is. And so it is with a grateful heart that I release this word into that infinite law and creative womb of the universe, knowing that it is already done because it is the truth. And we participate in it, and we open to it, and we say, thank you, God. And I release this prayer and let it be. And so it is.